Hello, friendo. You know that feeling you get when you're around a good friend? There's nothing like it. It can make a bad day good and a good day great. I wanted to create a podcast that made me feel just like that. Every person has a story, and here in Friendo, we're going to celebrate them. I'm going to introduce you to fascinating people that will make us laugh, make us think, and inspire us. More than anything, this is a place where we can be ourselves. This is Friendo. 22,000 unanswered emails, a baby on the boob, and eating peanut butter from the jar. Paints a picture, doesn't it? The woman behind that bio is my guest and friend, Sarah Nicole Landry of The Birds Papaya. If you're one of her 2 million followers on Instagram, you know she's a divorced and remarried mom of four, from newborns to teens, who cultivates powerful conversations about life through her photos and her podcast. And she does it with fierce vulnerability, in particular when it comes to talking about bodies. When I first started following Sarah, I didn't understand the impact, or rather importance, of her messaging. Don't get me wrong, I supported it, loved seeing her show up so courageously and honestly, but I didn't feel like it was for me until I changed. What is it about change that can be so challenging? In reality, it just means that there's been a transformation of some kind. Not good, not bad, just different. But why is it such a tricky thing to experience when it happens to you? For many of us, a lot has changed over the last 2 years. For me, my body has shifted, and I've lost my footing about my worth based on my physical appearance. And part of my conversation with Sarah revolves around that, how bodies change, and how we can feel not so good about it, but that it's okay. How do we sit with these emotions? I really appreciate Sarah's perspective on this. Later in the episode, we'll hear from a friendo and a recommendation I fully support. I also share something old, something new, and something to do. I'm Amanda Muse, and this is Friendo. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I should say welcome back. We've done this
like 2 years ago. Everything's a blur. Time means nothing anymore. We're back.
Yay. And, you know, as we began recording, you were telling me you even have your kids home because it's like a random snow day.
I've got half the kids home. Other half are at their dad's. It's just everything is so unpredictable these days. And I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of anxiety going into March break because 2 years ago, March break ended up being like 6 months long. I don't remember how many weeks it actually was. And then again, last year it happened, or after winter break. And then afterwards. So every time the kids go off school, they stay home for a long period of time. So I'm like, is cautious optimism, but it mixed with anxiety and memories of like, love my children, love having them home. Cannot believe the shift in what it does for somebody who works from home, right? It's like a total different game change.
Changes everything. I mean, yeah. I know I was saying like, I think I'm going to take a bunch of days off, and I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go, you know, but I just, because it feels like this perpetual state of chaos, especially as a work from home person, which we're going to talk about, because you can't just turn off the mom hat, right? You can't just be like, bye.
No, it doesn't exist, right? And I think that what's so difficult about it is that like you are person and brand. There is very little like hard line between that. So we got really used to meshing everything together, but then the last couple of years just really, really amplified that. And I think there's so many people who, you know, I'm so grateful. I know your family's been rocked a bit, but we had the opportunity to work from home. We have all these opportunities to, you know, provide that safety. But I think at the end of the day, like from the moment you have children, or even just maybe it's just a woman thing, but like your desire to nest. And to nest is to like create home and create safety and create spaces. And the last 2 years, like the amount of chaos has just caused a lot of like internal unrest. And then that feeling of if everything is this vulnerable, our jobs are vulnerable, our health is vulnerable. It's hard to come back down into that nested feeling, I guess.
Totally. I mean, and talking about change in those last 2 years, I mean, you went and had a massive life change. She's adorable. Her name is Lemmy.
She's adorable.
You know,
in the world. Yeah.
It's, and did she just celebrate her first birthday?
She did. She's one now. So she is like a true mark of the pandemic, because I got pregnant at the very beginning of the pandemic. I had, you know, the entire pregnancy through that, gave birth in middle of a lockdown. And then her first year of life has been in a pinch. So she's slowly starting to get, we took her to a grocery store yesterday, and she's like only once ever been in a grocery store. And she was just like, oh my God, everything was so, her whole face the whole time she's kept going, like just so excited about everything happening. But that's like, I mean, toddlers, she's not a toddler yet, but like she's getting into that age. In general, everything's so new and exciting for them, but she's been at home and coping with that so much. And now I just like getting to see her in the world is, except for the summertime. The summertime last year, we used to always take her out to like patios everywhere. But yeah, we definitely just like took what felt like was going to be a couple months, even a couple weeks. I had a little hope for her. It's been 2 years. Like it's been a couple years now, and having a baby within that, I honestly thought maybe this is a blessing and I'll be pregnant. And then once delivery happens, everything's going to be back to normal. And I just like kind of saved myself from traveling and stuff through a pregnancy. No, it's been a total shit show, and but a beautiful one. I mean, it can be both, right? I just podcasted with this woman named Jane Mattingly, and she talks about and a lot. Like it can suck and it can be great. Like it can, you can have both in a lot of things. So I get really excited talking about the last 2 years because they were so amazing and it kicked me in the crotch. Like, I don't know what else to say.
On it. Well, and I think as a consumer of what you create, I appreciated seeing that side of it, because I think sometimes we can, you know, look and peek into other people's lives and be like, well, that just looks perfect, you know, or it crosses, checks all the boxes about what is supposed to make us feel wonderful. And then it's like, well, hold on. Yes. And I love that. Yeah. I love that. So tell me, what is, you know, a typical day in your life now that you're a mom of four? Are continuing to see success on your platforms. What does that look like for you?
Well, I'm trying to get better at like actually scheduling my life. Like Mondays is a podcast day. Tuesday, I'm like with my team, we have a little office and work from there. Just kind of get caught up. A lot of call meetings and things like that. Wednesday's content day. If we have stuff that's due, we try and shoot it, get it all ready to go for the following week. On Thursday is another office day. Usually it is like wrapping everything, all the big decisions that have to be made or anything loose ends that happen. And Fridays, I just recently started taking them off, not off, like I'm still working, but I have the baby. So I'm working with her, literally with me. The reason I started doing that is I realized that the teenagers were claiming my weekends because they just have so much that needs to be done driving around. So I felt like I was really missing like that connection with the baby because they really bond, right? And so, and to the very random thing. So I've started doing that on Fridays. But I mean, a typical day, depending on the day of the week, because I do share custody, our kids go to four different drop-offs. So my daughter will, the baby will be either at my mom's house or here. And then we have one kid that goes to a middle school, one that goes to an elementary school, one that goes to a high school. So we have four different and all different times. So it starts at about 7:30 a.m. until I'm usually back at 9:30. And the pickups all happen between 3 and 3:30. So my work day is not a 9 to 5. It is like a 10 to 2:30. Like, and there's a lot of work to get done in that period of time. But it's, I mean, as much as I want to say, like, it is so chaotic and I'm so stressed out and I'm so burnt out, I'm not. I think I really thrive in busyness. I also feel like those moments where it takes me 2 hours dropping the kids off at the morning sometimes brings me the most cohesive thoughts because my phone's away, I'm just driving, I'm doing things, I'm connecting with the kids. So it's not all for nothing. Sometimes I get really frustrated and I just want to like not have that. I just want there to be Uber for children. But I'm very grateful that it has really birthed a lot of really great things as well. So yeah.
You bring up a great point about that connection element, you know, having children that are, you do have teenagers. Like, how old is your eldest daughter?
She'll be 16 in June.
That's what I thought. I was like, is she 15, 16? And then, you know, the little one, just one, like that is a big age gap. And I know, like, I have a sister who's 10 years younger than me. We are so tight. So like, it's going to be amazing when they're older. Yeah. I mean, it's probably amazing now. It was amazing when my baby sister was a baby, but it's like all of a sudden the age gap just disappeared. But you know, that is such a tricky thing to balance as a mother, to spend that one-on-one time with your kids and to fulfill their needs at those ages. And you know, with teenagers, it's like a small window that they actually want to like hang out and chill and have you around. And so it's such a tricky thing. You know, I really appreciate hearing, well, you know, how do other creators like manage their day? Because there is so much flexibility having your own business, running it the way it works for you. But then in the same sense, it's like you said, you're pretty much running like the whole day to get all of these, all of these things done. And then, you know, how does one find time for themselves? You know, and it's just, it becomes, it's an interesting element of connection. And then that element that we connect to ourselves. And that's something in your content that, you know, I see you talk about is, you know, specifically your relationship with motherhood, you know, with your body, with relationships, and having had so much change over specifically the last 2 years, it's been really quite lovely to see your thoughts on that. But tell me, like, where are you at right now? Like, here you are, you know, you're 1 year postpartum, you know, I know you talk about a lot of that, but I'm, you know, I'm curious, like, where does that relationship stand with yourself right now, with your body?
The last year has been probably the hardest year of the entire journey. When I first started talking about my body and stuff, it was very much in recovery from dieting and having like disordered eating and really trying to like claw my way out from that. And I really felt very stable until I got pregnant. And then my whole world was rocked. I mean, my health declined very, very quickly, mentally and physically in the pregnancy. I had a complicated pregnancy, so I was put on pelvic rest. So things that I would use as like my mental health tools, like movement, were gone. I couldn't do things like that. I couldn't even have sex with my husband. Like there was, it was, and we're newly married. Like we were a year and a half in and then told like no sex. Like that was, it was a lot. And then I had prenatal depression. And so then you give birth and like, I don't know, my body just, I went from being so proud of it to like, wait, this is what we're dealing with. Like, I don't know who the hell this is. And I just felt like I'd worked so hard to heal and then felt so ashamed that I was struggling so much. But it put me back into my why a little bit. It put me back into how easy it would have been for me to just hide out for a year, to just not show up, to not do things. And I just really committed to myself that like, yeah, this must, this feels really shitty and it's okay. I'm grieving a lot of things. I'm grieving what my pregnancy could have looked like. Keep in mind, my husband has never had a child and he got to participate in basically nothing except for the birth. It was a very lonely, lonely pregnancy. You couldn't do anything. There was no baby showers. There was no parties. There was no even meeting the baby after she was born. An incredible, like to this day, I still like, I get emotional talking about it because these are like these core moments you don't get back. And I really felt so sad and going back to that, and so filled with so much gratitude that it worked out, that we had this like really amazing birth and this really amazing baby. But it threw me back into my relationship with my body, and in such a way that was more vulnerable than I think I've ever been before. Cause I'd always been like journeying past something and now I was like in it. It was a really hard to be like straight in it and be seen as somebody who talks about like body confidence and stuff. And I think it, the last year reminded me so deeply that these things are not feelings. The way you love yourself is not going to be a feeling. And the way that you move through this world confidently is not going to be a feeling. And to attach our worth to something as variable as a body, something that can change truly overnight or in the split of a second, I realized that as much as I was doing well with it, I was still attaching a lot of different emotions to how I felt. And I was feeling, before all of this change, I was feeling really good about myself. I was feeling good in gaining weight. I was feeling good in new clothes. And then I just went into this time of, and you go from being pregnant where you're just like adored. You are adored everywhere. People love you. You're so cute. You're glowing. You're this. And then you're just like covered in piss, puke, and poop all day long. Your postpartum sweats. You literally smell. Your vagina is stitched up. You're just like a walking mess. And your body looks like so unrecognizable. And at the same time, simultaneously, everybody has stopped complimenting you on how great you look. Even if you're like, I know I'm more than these comments and like comments on my body. But when you're pregnant, it feels like diet culture has nothing to do with it. But we're constantly praising a pregnant woman's body. And then we rip her of it the second she gives birth. So I felt that very much so. And I kind of journeyed that as much as possible. And now I'm so glad I did, because grief is such an important processing tool. It is something that we use for loss, right? Loss or change. And it's, I think a lot of times in spaces, and kind of to your point, the way that people have been on social media, like there has been this delicate balance of people aren't always ready to receive anything than this like falsified reality, because they need that escape. They need to see that there is, I don't know. It's like why I follow travel accounts. I'm not going anywhere. I know half of these photos are Photoshop, but I'm enjoying the escape of it, right? When the world is so wild. But I also knew that I needed to create a space that let people be seen for what they were going through, because there were so many times I didn't feel seen. And I would publish stuff that I'd be like, nobody's even going to understand this caption. Like nobody is even going to get what is coming out of my mouth right now. And anytime we have human experiences like that, like I guarantee so many more people are having the same one. So I just kind of allowed myself to like post fluff when I needed to post fluff and like be really real when I needed to be real. And not, I'm not going to say not worry, but worry less about how that was always perceived. Because I mean, if I only talked about the struggles, then people would struggle to see me in good. And if I only post the good, then people would feel like it wasn't reality. And so it's been a delicate balance dancing it. But now I feel like that all that grieving really put me in a good spot where I am now getting to know my new self, I guess, if that makes sense. And I'm also a year out. Like that first year is a shit show. As it goes on, like you get your sleep back again, you get your body back. I stopped nursing. I'm sleeping 12 hours a night. Like these are key things. Not 12 hours. She's sleeping 12 hours. I'm sleeping like 8. But these are key components in self-care and wellness that obviously have come into why I would maybe be feeling better now than I was on 2 hours of sleep and through trauma in the body. Like it makes sense.
100%. Absolutely. You know, you bring up an interesting word, grief, right? Mm-hmm. That it took me back when you were talking about those moments that you didn't get with Lemmy at the start. I did not have a baby in a pandemic. I did, however, have a baby in a foreign country. Yeah. And had an emergency situation where my husband wasn't allowed in the room. I mean, yeah. I have funny moments now I can look back on, like I was holding the hands of the anesthesiologist and like, yeah. and the pediatrician, like, hi, there's nobody here. Like that support that we need in those moments, right? And then grieving what didn't happen in my labor experience. Yeah. And that, I mean, 10 years out, I still hold on to some of that stuff. Yeah. And it's funny, just the other night I was sitting with my daughter, who's 10 now, and she had asked me what was her birth story. And I was like, oh, it's funny. Like, I never told you. It's on the bloody internet, but like, let's sit. And as I was going through it, I was like, whoa, there's still stuff that I'm still wishing had been different, you know, and how that impacts a woman as we go through it. Now, not everyone who follows you has had a baby right now, but we can all, I think, collectively go and nod along when you're talking about this grief, this loss of things. Like our family specifically was really badly hit with job loss. And right now, my husband just got called back. It's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. However, you know, one would think that the switch flips and you're just like, oh, this is great. I'm going to go back. No. Am I going to go forward? And then all of a sudden I'm sitting with myself going, whoa, my body has changed. I am 20 pounds heavier than I have been in the last like 8 years. And it's hitting me really weird. It's it's like this relationship that I thought I had figured out, that I thought I was super clear on my boundaries and how I think about myself and this narrative that I have for myself. And all of a sudden it's like all out the window. And I'm like, what? How am I 37 years old and like having this conversation with myself? Or how am I supposed to be this like role model of confidence to my kids and like also wishing I was a different size? It's such a complicated time.
It's complicated, but it also makes sense. Like if we were given one message for so much of our life, we can't assume that we're all of a sudden just like, we're saturated with one thing. Like it makes so much sense that it would bring up old emotions or old feelings or, you know, things that you thought that you'd put to bed. Similar to like you're saying, like I still carry those pieces of your own birth story. When I, do you know what actually was the root cause of my prenatal depression? Was not healing and talking enough about the things that were difficult in my first three births. I just was like, chapter closed, you move on. But we don't actually move on. And we always think that we're just, you know, I had a therapist once that sat me down really hard and looked at me in the face and was like, you can't outrun trauma. It will chase you. And for so many of us, our bodies are a big connector to certain things of trauma that we've had in our life. And they may be really small traumas. They may be like small T traumas, but they can really add up over your lifetime, especially when it comes to body change. And I know that so many people have experienced it over the last couple of years. Not all of them have a baby on their hip to show for it, but it makes sense that we would struggle because we were conditioned to struggle. We were conditioned to think about it. We were conditioned to be this distracted by our body. So I really, every time I feel badly about how I look or I witness somebody else struggling with theirs, like, we don't need to feel ashamed for that. It makes a lot of sense that we're experiencing that. And that's also not the end of the story, right? Like it's just something that followed us. And sometimes we pay attention to it, right? Like it's like catching your shadow. It's there, but it's not in the direction we're going all the time. So I think a lot of people still struggle with not feeling positive about themselves all the time. And it really weighs on them very heavily. And the last year has taught me like, it's okay to admit that you're struggling, because it's not struggling that makes us like strong, confident humans. It is admitting that we're still really caught up in this. And it also reminds you why we have to move forward, why we have to do this work, why we have to better these systems and these cycles for our daughters and for our sons and for every generation coming up behind us, so that hopefully there will come a time where there isn't an entire generation that's been traumatized by media and advertising constantly telling them that they're not enough and that to be small is to be safe and accepted in this world.
Exactly. And when you catch yourself, right, like you're saying, there's so much that we have been like as kids. I'm like, what was the ideal body type when I was a teen? And, you know, it wasn't my body. Like I'm curvy, I'm tall, right? I was like, 10, like a foot taller than all my friends growing up. And I'm seeing the same thing with my daughter. And I feel like too, you know, as a mother, as your children go through these things, and I know you're a few years ahead of me, but it's like you have to deal with what maybe you didn't deal with as a teenager. And you're like, oh, it's weird that sentence came out of my mouth. Like, no, you don't have to do that thing because of your health. Like you are healthy. You know, it's like this, you're like untangling all of these ideas you've had. And I have to admit, like, I remember when, you know, I fell upon your page and I was like, oh, this is so amazing what she's doing. But I didn't feel like the message was for me. I was like, well, I don't need it. I'm fine. Everything's fine. And all of a sudden, as I started following all of these people like yourself, people you've introduced me to through sharing on stories and this and that, and their messages pop up and I notice, oh, I'm going to linger on this a little longer. I'm going to read this twice because I think I kind of need that message and how important it is to see bodies like our own and different bodies in media, so that when I got like this, I think it was the other day I saw something on Google and it was like, oh yeah, Victoria's Secret now has like different type of, you know, different body types in their show. And I was like, well, that took long enough.
They canceled the angels. They're not doing angels anymore. They're not doing the runway show, but they changed the bodies. I'm like, why are you not letting them be angels? Like, I still think that there's a ways to go and they are working on it, but I have like DM'd them like, please let them be angels. Like they are angels. Still are keeping the angels as this one thing. Like, let them all be angels. Why is this not happening? And like I remember years ago when they were still doing like the runway show and Nyx did the like everybody is an angel show, and they like had that like contradictory one of the one that kind of like combated it. But you're right. Like, it's so special to see so many different bodies and like recognize their beauty. But if you've grown up in a society where you never saw your own reflected, there is a magical moment when you see one that you're like, holy shit, that looks like me. And why do I find that so beautiful on somebody else? And yet I'm struggling to connect with my own, because we're so comfortable. We're like so in with our bodies. Like, we're literally in our bodies. It's so easy to take too much time with it. But honestly, sometimes like, that's why I think like taking photos of yourself, and as somebody who genuinely just like has 10 years of her life that doesn't exist because I just wouldn't be in photos. It's so important, I think, to like take those pictures and like recognize that beauty a little bit. And instead of looking at it with a critical lens, looking at it with a lens of understanding. And I was the same as you. I definitely was like, all of that self-love stuff is bullshit. Like, I was using self-hate as like a motivator to be thin and like lose weight. So when I was struggling at the very end, I remember falling across, it was Kenzie Brenna's account that I saw. And I was just like, I almost hate followed her, cause I was like, this makes no shit sense. and over time it was like, it threw my like worst struggles. That was like the warm blanket that I needed. Like, I felt like somebody was just coming up around me and just like giving me a hug and like, it's okay. Like, it's okay. Where everything in diet culture was constantly reminding me that I was never enough. I was never okay. And there wasn't a finish line to be had. The goalpost moved. Every time I got to a goal, the goalpost moved. So it was like the one time I was like, you're actually enough right here, right now, no matter what you did today, no matter who you are, no matter what your body looks like and how it shows for this life you live, like you're everything. And that was a game changer for me. And I think that happens for a lot of people. And I think it happens for a lot of us who have existed in very privileged lives until you have these moments of, I think that's why a lot of people postpartum come into it too, because they've never gone through body change that quickly before to understand what it would be like to suddenly have this, carrying this much grief, which brings on so much shame, and then trying to find their place and their footing again. Yeah. Yeah.
It's something, you know, I noticed there's a woman I follow. Her name is escaping me right now, but her body to me looks just like my daughter. And I just think that she's the cutest human. And I save all of her, like save her posts. So just like casually when Esme is sitting with me, I'm like, can we just look at this? Because I feel like this weekend we had one of those moments as a parent, and maybe you've experienced it, where my daughter discovered editing apps for the body. And I was like, oh my God. So, you know, internally I'm freaking out because I'm like, okay, she's showing me a before and after, and the after is a non-existent body type, you know, that she's 10 and it's not gonna happen, baby. Like, genetics are at play here. You know, there's so many variables, like you were saying, the variable of the body, right? You know, looking at parenting through the ages now, you've got this little adorable squish Lemmy to a teenager, you know, is there a lesson that you've taken when it comes to, let's start with the tweens, like, is there something that you feel like this has been a lesson I've learned with my kids? It can be related to bodies or otherwise.
I think my biggest thing is we've got to stop like parenting as if they're all the same person. And we even had a moment last night where my daughter was eating on the couch and my son's like, why can't I eat on the couch? And I was like, I hate to bring up different rules here for different people, but I'm in different relationships with you. And Bowden, like, and he's like, you don't even need to finish the sentence. I was like, thank you. The couch is white and I've never seen you not spill. You really have to, like, you've got to get to know your people and your kids, right? And my kids all have very different body types from each other. And so we've seen a lot of comments come their way over the years, from overly positive to overly like negative. And having to kind of reflect upon like this home and knowing that I can't control what happens outside of it. I can help with my relationships with them. I can tell them all they want about editing apps that exist and filters that exist, but they also have autonomy over their own lives and their own choices. So I almost like, it's like driving in a car with them, understanding that they're the ones that are driving, and you're maybe holding a map because you've gone down these roads before, but you don't get to make these decisions for them. You can just encourage them from the sidelines. And that's hard because you really want to take over and be like, just give me the wheel. I got this. And there's been so many times where I've had to watch my kids go through things like being like their bodies being talked about negatively. And it brought the whole house down. Like we were all just in tears. And I've just reminded myself, I think over time and through each of them and through all their ages, the importance of consent. Down to when I'm changing the baby's diaper, I often be like, I'm just going to change your bum. Like I always I outwardly say it. We have consent in terms of, you know, like asking for a hug, not just like forcing it. And even like online stuff, what I share, what I don't, even if it's like a piece of artwork that they've done, like, is it okay that I share this? Really teaching them and respecting them as people and creating a home that doesn't, I will never be like, you look really pretty or you look really, your body looks really good in that. I'm always trying. And even like my son has a learning disability. So even avoiding things like over praising how smart somebody is and more just like how kind, how good, how dedicated you have been. Like his report card came back and I was like, you have been so dedicated and I'm so proud of you. And you have clear, like your grades are reflecting how much effort you've put in. And that makes me so proud. I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, look how smart you are now, because that creates a value that he maybe didn't have 2 years ago. And I have to just keep creating this language. And it's so wild to try and like stop yourself as you're going, because it's very easy to be like, does this outfit make me look this? And re-identifying, you know, even, you know, you can't avoid that kids learn language, right? So they'll come home and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I look so fat in this. And I'll be like, first of all, fat's not a negative thing. Second of all, it doesn't matter. Like we have to really, and my kids are like, oh gosh, here she goes. But they wanted me. But at the end of the day, I know that it's creating an impact and I've watched my kids show up more in their lives. And I think that that's the key part, but also they've been really honest with me about their struggles. And I'm so grateful because I believe that that means I've created a space in which they feel comfortable to talk about these things, but also know that I will never create that value on them around things like that. We don't talk about diets. We don't talk about calories. We don't talk about things like that. And I also, we had an incident at a doctor's appointment a few weeks ago where my daughter's body was like brought up and I fucking went to bat for her with tears in my eyes. And she walked out of there and she was like, oh, like you got a little hulky in there. And she was like, I never saw her get, I think in my head, I was like, I never get to change this moment for her. So all I can do is stand up for her and show her that somebody's got her back. And it was so hard because it's like a doctor, right? And in your head, you're like, I can't talk up. Like they know better.
It's like authority, right? It's like that respecting authority thing. I get that. Yeah.
But he basically looked at my daughter and told her to go home and Google what a BMI was. And I was like, the fuck we will? Like I just, and it was not a great experience. And anyways, long story short, at the end of the day, my kid knows that I went to bat for her. We got different care for her and I haven't seen her suddenly change any behaviors or do anything drastic because of what one man's opinion was on her body. We got to take, and guess what? He was actually very wrong. And it was very wrong. And there was there was other things going on that he didn't even consider because he just immediately went to it being a body issue. And so all we can do is create safe spaces. All we can do is create spaces of love and learning and not creating. Like if I found out my kids were photo editing, I mean, I would be sad, but also I did that and I get how hard it is. And I know that we come out to another side, right? So I don't want to create shame for that either. So we're just going to have to keep these conversations, keep having a safe space and continue to hope that we can counter-saturate enough that they come out this other side. And I believe they will. Kids are incredible, but they go through their own... think of all the things we did as kids. My gosh, like... I just sometimes forget that like they're just at this age where they're just figuring things out. And a lot of figuring things out is getting things wrong, right?
Ugh, like that's just
part of it. I'm literally witnessing a baby who is like trying to take steps and like kid who is like navigating high school. It's all the same. You fail, 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 fail till you get it right. And so I think that's been a good reminder for all of us, like having a baby in the house, of how simplistic joy can be and how common failure is, right?
so true. Oh my gosh. There's so much. There's so many little gems that you just dropped there. But parenting your kids, like giving them the parent that they need specifically. Like my kids are, I have two kids. They're very different. Yeah. I love that your son was able to, on his own, figure out why him and the white sofa don't work out. But yeah, it's like you can't, it's not a blanket parenting tactic is what I'm realizing. And I think what's tricky sometimes is, you know, our parents did not parent like that potentially, right? So I'm sure some did. But I find, you know, when you were speaking about your daughter and that doctor situation, I find there's almost a part of me that's like proactive in certain conversations with family members where I'm like, in my own way, I'm letting you know this topic is not a place where your opinion is warranted. And if I hear it come up, you go hear my voice, like pretty firmly shutting that down. And your kids need to see that because when we screw up with language, I find I'm constantly learning, you know, whether it's pronouns, whether it's how a person identifies with their sexuality. Like I keep screwing it up. But I love.
Oh, yeah, all the time. So hard. I'm trying to stop saying crazy and insane because those are like mental health terms that are real. So I'm saying wild all the time. And I'll be like, cruel, wild. I'm trying to say wild. And my kids are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to not say crazy. I'm trying to say wild instead. And like, and so we just get into a habit of like learning together, right? Like nobody can get it right off the bat.
No.
Like we have to show them us learning.
Totally. And even these heavy conversations, like I would rather try and mess it up a little bit, but get parts of it right than have certain topics be completely taboo and not, like you're saying, have that safe space where they can come to you and share those things. Cause that to me is that magic. Like when I try to just talk less, Amanda, like don't control the whole situation. Cause I am just like, I'm a leader in that way. And I'm like, well, I can do it faster. Or here's a solution. Do this. They need to figure it out. And I need to like step away and shut my mouth and open my ears. You know, it's, God, it's tricky. Well, okay. Coming back to, I want to talk a little bit more about your creative process because I remember attending a conference with you a couple years back and I was so surprised and impressed. Like something we were listening to, I think it was Brené Brown and it was incredible. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, your laptop went up and you were like going to town on something and you, I could tell you had this like bout of inspiration. So I'm curious, like, you know, I know that you work with a team now, you work with more people. It's necessary, I feel like, as we get to a certain point, you know, what does that look like for you? How are you always thinking about new things? Are you pulling from real life and like making it happen now? Are you planning a few weeks out? What does that look like for you?
The only stuff I plan is paid work. Like I'm required to plan that, right? So everything else is totally, I mean, I've called it a journal because it is. Like that's truly what it is. I like to live things in real time, do things in real time. And I feel like sometimes when I start to write something or talk about something and it's like 2 days after the fact, my heart doesn't feel in it anymore. So I've gotten into this really great habit of the moments I'm thinking about something or I'm reflecting about something, I just write it down in the notes of my phone or I email it to myself. And I think because a lot of creatorship is image first and we're like, what do I caption it? What do I caption it? What do I caption it? That still happens to me for sure. But most of the time, it's me just writing something and pairing an image that I have to it, right? And something that I feel will capture it the right way, or I'll take an image that I feel reflects it the most. But day by day, nothing is truly planned. And I mean, there is that bit of pressure to like, oh, you have to post every day. And I've really tried to just let go of it being perfect and trying to just enjoy it a little bit more. Posting the fluff and or posting my baby because I think we just enjoy babies on our news feeds right now. Like sometimes it's just like, I know that's what I need, so I'm gonna give you that. Like there's a lot of things like that where I'm just like, whatever, like I have to be better at not just having like a growth mentality to everything. But a team has been helpful. I mean, there's things that I'm just really not good at. And I remember years ago, I was speaking with the founder of Mabel's Labels, and she said like she's really good at certain things and she's really not good at others. And she realized that she could create jobs for those who are really good at those things and feed back into like a women-led economy. And I was like, oh damn. And she's like, listen, I'm really bad at cleaning my house and I'm really bad at making cakes, but guess who is? Like, there's these other people. Mm-hmm. So I've stopped. I think I really held off of like wanting to have a team and making myself seem like I was above, where I was 10 years ago. But I am really bad at replying to emails. So it's great that I have somebody who is on board, who can make sure that everybody gets replied to and is respected in that process. That's a huge one for me. Like, that's how I love to be treated as well. So I know that that's not something I'm good at. Gave somebody a job. Somebody has like a full-time job in operations, doing all of that stuff, scheduling things, making sure they're in my calendar, because God knows I've missed so much stuff because, again, life is chaos. Mm-hmm. I also have somebody, I really believe in written word and evergreen content. There was a call I was on about a year ago where somebody made the comment that we don't own the spaces that we have on social media. They're rented and they can be taken away at any point. And I was like, I don't have a website. I don't have anything. I don't own a piece of the internet. And everything is forcing me into creator over and over and over, like do more. And I was like, there needs to be a place where I'm not constantly having to write like new chapters of books every single day on my Instagram. Maybe I could start pouring that into really well-oiled machine of a blog. So I'm actually reinvesting back into like the blogosphere, but more like a website, having like a landing page for stuff. That I think will just like deep dive a little bit more and bring other people involved as well. So that has been, I brought somebody on to like lead editorial. She's somebody who I just like kismetly met and was like, I need to work with you. I don't know what it looks like. And she loves editorial. So she was perfect for that. And then finally, last year at about 4 months after the baby was born and me trying to do both things at once, because I was like, baby sleep 18 hours a day, I'll be fine. Mm-mm. I wasn't fine. I was crying every single day. And my husband posted an ad for like a nanny. And I was like, that's so creepy. Like, take it down or at least put my name on it. And we spent a couple months just kind of dragging our heels a little bit because it was felt so weird to trust somebody like that. But we decided on like just a couple days a week coming in and supporting, and my mom would be able to help as well. But I didn't want my mom doing so much. So we ended up hiring somebody who had lost her job in COVID, and she came in, and it was just like, honestly, she was like, I'll come in until you find somebody that like might be here forever. And so I was like, okay, well, at least we have somebody we really like for now. And she came on and it was just working so well, but I knew like she had lost a full-time job, but she was so it takes a certain level of intimacy to like share your home and share your children with somebody. And there was so much trust built that I just felt like I've been looking for somebody that I could share my life in this way and start giving things that I truly keep not delegating in work because it feels too close to me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? Like, yes. Could you help me go pick up these things? Cause I need them for a shoot. I didn't want to give that to my operations person. I didn't want to give it to my editorial person. So I'm like, I need somebody who's like kind of like my buddy, like my assistant, but so much more. So she ends up coming on full time. So she's 3 days a week with me as an assistant and 2 days a week as the nanny. So she can do, and this way I'm like,
this is amazing.
Hey, I actually want to call. I'm not going to be able to make it to get the kids. She's like, got it. Cause that is part of her role, right? We kind of did it. And I had a friend, actually, I talked with Sasha Exeter. She'd had the same thing. Her assistant was also her nanny, started as her nanny, became her assistant. She just split the job in two, and it's like two different roles. So yeah, that's what we ended up doing. That's what the team looks like. And
that's amazing. Yeah, I was going to say, I did that with when Jackie was small. My son is 8 now, yeah. But I had a woman working with me, started as a babysitter. And then I was like, they're just... that you're in your home every day, they get to know you. Like, she could do a post or sound like me. You know what I mean? It was like, can you help me with these little things and do these, you know? And it's so important, I feel, as women who are working. And I think this is why, you know, as you're speaking, I'm like, why do we find this such an important question? And I feel like I ask this to so many women, like, when you're working, how do you support yourself? What's your creative process like? Because I feel like I want to... share the message with other women that like there is a way to tackle, I don't want to say it all because that sounds very overwhelming, but whatever it is that you find important and get the support in order to do it. You don't have to do it all by yourself. And even right now, I'm in the midst of realizing I'm struggling with a few things professionally, creatively. And I'm like, what is the deal? And it's that I'm too close to it. You know, I need a buffer. I need somebody to come in and question me about things and help me brainstorm that isn't my spouse. You know, it's like, and that's 100%. Where, that team element is so important. Well, you know, as we wrap up this conversation today, you know, I share so much about self-care. It's just, I've dealt with anxiety. I'm still dealing with it as we're coming out of this time and job loss and all of this stuff. But, you know, is there something that you do just for you that we might not even know about that you don't share so much online? But how do you find time just for Sarah?
You know, this is such a common question. Everyone's always like, what do you do for self-care? Or like it's entered in such a broad thing. And I realize I don't have time for it. I truly don't. It doesn't look the same for me as it does for maybe my single friends or, you know, other people who are like how I was 2 years ago, past the weeds of having a baby. But I realized that I could bookend my days with just little moments. It didn't have to be these like big hour-long processes. It could be 5 minutes. And I really recognize that if you start to pay attention to how you're feeling all the time, which is a huge part of my creative process, I realized that it was in the mornings with skincare and at the end of taking it off. So I love that. I love in the morning doing skincare and putting on my makeup. It's not a big ordeal, but it is like just this time that's so precious to me. And people will often be like, how are you having a lounge day? But you're like fully done up. I'm like, you need to understand, like that is so precious to me. And just as much as taking it all, like I get excited at the end of the day, like to take it all off and like to do skincare, because I think there's something about facing yourself in the mirror, not having a distraction for a few minutes. And JVN once quoted somebody else who I don't know who that is, but like giving yourself a face hug, like having touch, like self-touch, having these moments, like the whole day has been potentially chaos, but I can control two parts of it, how it starts and how it ends. And I like to start it with me and I like to end it with me because sometimes that's the only moments that I get. And that has done a world of difference for me. I will see a tangible difference in myself and my attitude and my mental health when I don't wake up and do an immediate act of self-care. And same with when I go to bed, I will wake up with like an ick feeling almost, right? Mm-hmm. So I've just allowed myself not to feel badly that it's not these big visions of grandeur and of self-love, that it truly is sometimes 5 minutes at the beginning and 5 minutes at the end.
That is such a beautiful message. I have been doing this for a long time, as you know, 10 years, actually going on 11. And I've often said, you know, the time that you make for yourself is going to look so different. And I know that as we speak to our audiences, like I'm so aware that there are some in the throes of new momhood, trying to have a baby, traveling the world, like leading companies, like dealing with job loss. There's so many people, you know, with different life experiences. And it's like, it doesn't have to be these big moments, you know. Lately, it's just for me been reading. I'm just like addicted and I read for like 20 minutes.
Love that.
Oh my God. Like I fall asleep with like glasses on.
I can't stop. Like I won't. If I get into a good book, I'm a disaster. Like I won't, I will completely check out. But I love a good book for that because it's one of the only things that can cause you to check out from everything else. Like it's really,
exactly. Exactly. And you're in your favorites and I read in bed, you know, and it's those moments. And so I just love that, you know, it's such a wonderful visual too. You're bookending your day with just a little bit of time for yourself and how nice that feels. You know, even myself, I put on a little makeup today and I was like, oh my God, I feel so nice. Like I haven't done this. And
not because the makeup gave it to you. I think that's what everyone else, you're like, do you feel only good because you're wearing makeup? I'm like, gosh, no. The makeup is like just it's almost like a medium to which how I feel, right? Like you will notice if I'm in a bit of like a spicier, fierce mood, I will immediately have like a bright lipstick on. And like, I definitely like it's a creative that medium that allows you to express how you're emotionally feeling sometimes, right? Like I
100%, 100%. And I was like, even with this big life change that I've had, I'm like, girl, I'm going for a big haircut next week, you know, and I can't
wait
because, you know, like I just need to, and I know you got your haircut recently and it looks amazing. And it's just like, I'm all about, I think maybe that's a creative person thing where you're just like, you love to play with that medium of how you self-express, you know? So
yeah, you love to play with it and then also never give it the right, never give it credit. Give yourself credit. Like a lot of times we get our hair done, especially, and we're like, oh, I feel so good because of this haircut. No, you feel so good because you spent money and time on yourself and somebody had hands on you. That's why you felt so good. Like,
yes. I love that. Oh, Sarah, it's always such a treat to chat with you. I'm so glad that you made time for me today. This was lovely. And
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to see you like in real life at some point.
It's going
to
happen. I know we like live down the damn street from each other, but I'll see you in real life again.
I know. Well, thanks so much, Sarah. And I'm going to leave links below for everyone to follow you online and check out your website with your blog aspect now. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
This week's Friendo Reco is from Melissa, and she goes by Mrs. Sanderson on Instagram, and she was so kind to send me a voice memo. So she's going to tell you herself what she's been loving this past week.
Something that I'm loving right now is reading books. It like takes me to like a whole other place, especially the writer, and her name is Colleen Hoover. And I think you've read her before, and she is amazing.
I completely relate to this, my friend. I have been reading books like I have been requiring oxygen to live. You know, I can't believe how many books I've read in the last few months. And it's really been helping me through this kind of, you know, I was going to say kind of difficult. It's a little bit more than kind of difficult. Very complicated emotional time with so much going on in the world and then so much going on in my personal life. I'm finding this ability to anchor myself in a book and then escape because of the story. An absolutely, you know, euphoric feeling, honestly. And I have read two Colleen Hoover books, and I feel like I have mixed emotions about Colleen's writing, but I agree. They suck you in. I couldn't put them down. Oh, I should say the two books I read were Verity and It Ends With Us. Both of the books entertained highly and also kind of made me mad. And we should probably talk about this in a book club type of episode, but they were like very entertaining. I do have to say that the whole, you know, genre of psychological thriller and that suspense element is really floating my boat. And I think probably because it just adds to that escape type of story because it's so... you can't tell what the end will be. Like there's little cliffhangers here and there. So thank you so much for this week's recommendation. As a reminder, follow me on Instagram at Amanda Muse so that you can submit your favorites whenever I put up a prompt and you could be featured in a future episode. What a lovely conversation that was with Sarah today. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I've known Sarah for quite a few years, and it's always nice to reconnect with people I know in the space, but it's also really interesting to hear her experience being in the new mom category again and how life is looking for her in her journey as a mother and then also professionally, how she's managing that element of life too. And I know that there's often this taboo in asking people, you know, how are you managing it all in this? And, you know, do men get asked the same questions? And as valid as that is, because it's accurate, I find my interest in it perhaps is a bit selfish, but I'm always just really curious how people just make it work. And also somehow how they make it look so easy. And often where I struggle is in the making it work and trying to do everything and do everything well. And it's just really interesting and helpful for me to hear how people whom I admire, how they make it happen in their day to day. So I hope that that's what you got from that conversation. It's always just such a treat to have time with people who are fulfilling their dreams and making it happen. So fun. What a fun job, right? Who knew? Now, We're going to switch gears a little and we're going to talk about some things that have made me happy for this last week. And I've got three lovely things. We got a touch of tech, you know, something that I'm bringing back from the archives here that's bringing me joy, and some rest ideas. So first thing I'm going to mention is an iPhone. If you caught some of my socials this week, I shared the new iPhone 13, which is green. It's so pretty. They have the forest green one and then the alpine one, whether you have the 13 mini versus the pro. And we got the, you know, a little sneak peek of these items thanks to a connection through Apple Canada that I have. So that's so exciting. I mean, I love anything tech. I just get so excited about some of these products. And so it's just so neat to have early access. So I'm loving it. The color is beautiful. My daughter loves it too. She thinks it's gorgeous. And also, in my recent YouTube video that came out on Monday, I talk a little bit about connection with a tween. And a part of that actually has to do with how Dean and I decided to allow Esme to have a phone and what phone is a great starter phone. So more on the iPhone SE. If you're curious, head over to youtube.com/AmandaMuse and you can see, you know, some of the items that I'm talking about there. But I just had to mention it. She's a pretty phone. She green, and I like it. So lots of cool little advancements there. And if you're curious, links below. Now, the second thing that I've brought back in the last little bit and I'm finding is having a pretty big impact is something as simple as a daily walk. I don't know if it is a touch of, you know, depression, if it's a touch of winter's never ending, because as I'm sitting here, I am watching giant snowflakes cover the ground and the trees. And guys, it's March 15th. I'm really over it at this point. And I think a lot of us are. And you know that I love snow and I love winter. And I want to put my snowblower away, okay? Like, I'm really done with it now. And it just feels like it's weighing on forever. And I'm dreaming about green things and sunshine and bike riding and the wind in my hair, you know? So I also noticed that with all of that kind of heaviness, my daily walks have taken a break. And I have two dogs and I often use them as an excuse to get out and move. But I have a really big backyard. And so if I don't go for walks, they're fine. The little one hardly notices it. The big one takes huge runs around the yard, so she's okay. But anyway, point is, I brought back the walks and I'm just doing it. Like, even when I'm not feeling like it, I'm trying to get into this, you know, habit forming routine where it becomes just something I do every day. Because when I walk, there is that part where, woohoo, I'm getting steps and it's good for my body and that's great. But there's this other part where I allow my mind to wander and I listen to podcasts and I take deep breaths. You know, if you really think about how often in the day, even as I'm saying this, I just took a deep breath, but like how we can restrict our breathing, or maybe we're in physical positions where the breathing is just like, deep breaths just don't happen. You know, if you're crunched up and you're kind of hunched over your computer or your phone, or, you know, so there's so many things. That's the fresh air element. I'm trying to take walks in the day because I'm just feeling like the lack of sunshine and it's really wearing me down. And I mean, if you listen to last week's episode, I'm not in the best space in terms of like how I'm feeling about everything. Everything is so heavy and I feel particularly, you know, low. So it's really helping me to get out and do that. So that's pretty helpful. You know, something else that is actually bringing me joy, which falls into the rest category, is old school episodes of Law and Order. I'm telling you, I'm talking like season 13, you know, when it's like, this is 20 years ago. Like, I've been watching it and occasionally you'll have these cameos and I'm like, what in the heck? The actor or actress playing within the cameo is now like big, they're big time actors, because that was like 20 years ago. So I just, Law and Order, I mean, it fits that that bill for me. You got a little bit of the crime situation. You got the sassy cops. You've got the, you know, the detectives doing their thing. And then you get the law part of it. And I just feel like, yes, it's like all the things that I love. And they're succinct, man. They're just like this awesome 50-minute situation. And you feel like you've watched a whole movie. And I love it. And, you know, I struggle with this ridiculous thing where I have a hard time resting and I have a hard time watching television. And I'm really trying to change that mindset where it is normal to have ebb and flow within the year. And I heard a great conversation today on Brené Brown's podcast where she was talking with Karen. I want to get her last name proper here. I think it's Walrond. I actually know her in real life. She is an incredible, incredible speaker. I mean, she goes by Hey Shukulunks on Instagram, Karen Walrond, that's right. And oh, when I heard her speak, this was a few years back now, blows your mind. Like, she's incredible. But anyway, so in this podcast, Brené and Karen were talking about, you know, how do we sort of take time away when you can't? Because I don't have that ability in my regular day-to-day life to just like disappear for 6 months. It's not going to happen. I do this because I love it. And I also do this because it pays my bills, right? Like, hello, adulting. So how can I learn to embrace the ebb and flow of how, you know, the world can impact my creative process? And part of that is learning how to rest. And so in these cooler months when the sun is not as bright and it's not as easy to just get out and go for a walk or go for a bike ride or swim or whatever, you know, finding joy in something like Law and Order, where I've cuddled up on the sofa with my dogs, and Dean loves Law and Order too. So we share that experience and trying to find it like the positive. So instead of looking at it like, oh, I could be doing so many other things and crossing so many things off my to-do list, actually, I really enjoy this show and I get to spend time with Dean and, you know, it's fun and it's like an hour and you're done. So, you know, long-winded way of saying I'm really liking that show. Whatever show is going to work for you is going to work for you. But I think it's just, you know, that constant little reminder I require, which is, one, do things you enjoy, like resting and watching TV. And also, get out and do things like walking, even when you don't feel like it so much. Like, not to say I'm going to go for, you know, a 5K run when I'm not feeling like it, but more, this is going to have a really big impact on how you're feeling, and you need to change the scenery up and just start forming some healthy habits. You know what I mean? So those are my three favorites for the week. I hope you enjoyed it. And next week, I'll be speaking with Dr. Sarah Connors, who's actually been on the podcast once before, and she's a naturopathic doctor. And this time, we focus on specifically women's health and perimenopause and menopause, and answer a bunch of questions that I really have about that phase of life, and that I hope answers a bunch of questions for you listening. So be sure to tune in for next week's episode. I'll catch you then. Friendo is produced by Amanda Muse with producer Dila Velasquez. Audio editing by Ali Ashbacker and Amanda Muse. Production and sound design by Rob Johnson. Can I ask a little favor? Can you share this podcast with a friend? It's the best way to help get Friendo into new ears. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Find me on Instagram daily at Amanda Muse, YouTube for weekly videos at Amanda Muse, and TikTok for some laughs at Muse Amanda. Thank you for listening, and join me next week.